But for real, who believes that God has something he wants to say? Like, do we have that expectation when we come into church? Like, God, I'm ready to receive something. I'm ready to receive an encouragement. I'm ready to receive a word from you. Amen? Because church, you know, you can come to church and not receive anything. You can come to church with your ears, one goes through one ear, comes out the other, and nothing. No seed was planted. The devil, the little bird came onto your soil, ate the seed. Happy bird, but bad soil, right? Or hard soil, I guess it was rock. But I believe that the Lord wants to speak to us today. And I mean, whenever we read the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelations, there's something we can receive. And I believe that this book was written for us for a reason. There's a reason why it survived so many years, like thousands of years. There's a reason that it still is working and powerful today, amen? So I believe that the Word of God is God-breathed, that the essence of Him is in His Word, because it says what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, amen? And then Jesus became flesh, which is the Word became flesh. So if you have your Bibles, you can wave it like you're proud of it, or your phone. Turn on your phone, turn on your Bibles, or turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 13:5. And it says, "And the Philistines mustered to fight with Israel 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and troops like the sand on the seashore in multitude. They came up and encamped in Michmash, the east of Beth-Aven." Verse 6, "When the men saw that they were in trouble, for the people were hard-pressed, the people hid themselves in caves and in holes and in rocks and in tombs and in cisterns." This is like funny. Imagine a little person hiding in a jar and pops out. But because how scared they were, right? And verse 7, "And some Hebrews crossed the fords of the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul was still at Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling." Verse 8, "He waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just come before you, and we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, Jesus, that you have a plan for our lives, God, that you have a great calling upon our lives, Lord, that you want to take our lives to make it bring you glory. And I ask, God, that this word, Lord, that you would make it so real to us, so authentic, God, so personal, Lord, that it would be an encouragement, Lord, that it would be a seed that produces fruit, God. And we ask that we would just meet you in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, who loves to wait? Who has a hobby of waiting? That is not true. I don't think anybody wants to wait. Like, man, like, waiting is my favorite thing of the day. Like, I just love waiting. Like, nobody likes to be in waiting. Who likes to wait in lines? Nobody. Daniel can wait in lines. So if you have a, but I don't think any of us like to wait for things. No? Like, I feel like when I'm in traffic, like, my carnal man tries to come out. Like, my flesh comes out. Like, the vice, you're like, I can ride my bike faster than you're driving your car right now. Or, like, I can step out right now, take a nice walk, come back to my car, and keep going. Like, it starts to bring out the things, like, I didn't know that were in me. It started to bring out the words that I thought, like, oh, man, I heard this in a song, but, like, that's not about me. But anyways, like, you guys, it's okay, I repented. But in traffic, like, even in traffic, like, you have to wait. And, or how about, like, cooking or grilling? Who loves to cook? We have some cookers here, right? Who likes to grill? We got some grill masters here. Come on. Who loves to eat? You don't have to wait to eat, right? Well, you got it. So have you ever had this? I know I've had this. I'm sure the men who are grill masters have had this. You're grilling something, right? You're grilling something, and people are peeking out. They smell. It smells so good. Mm. Hey, when is it going to be done? Like, can I have it now? They're like, no, it's not done yet. Like, I can't. It's like, and then another person, when is it going to be done? Okay, do you want a bloody steak? Like, do you want your blood? Do you want a live animal right now? Like people are not patient. And like some things just take time in our lives. Like, we just have to wait for things that, like, are not in our control, right? Another circumstance. This one's going to hit home, right? Waiting for a spouse. Ooh. Mm, someone say amen. I feel you, brother. Some people wait for a spouse for so long. They're just waiting and waiting. And like, it's one of those things that you can get impatient with. It's one of those things where you can get impatient with having your steak being grilled or chicken and you end up getting it raw. You can end up getting really mad on the road and getting in an argument with a person that you didn't even have to have, right? Who loves to play chess? We got some chess players. Okay. Some people are like, you're a nerd. I love playing chess. And it's so funny to see when people, like, they know the basics of chess, but when you're playing with someone who is serious, like, if you get a person to play chess with and you're like, I'm pretty serious, and they're pretty serious, like, your game could take an hour, literally, right? And people are, like, just watching, like, just move already, like, move, right? And the people who get impatient in chess are often the people who make the mistakes. Like, in chess, you have to be patient, like, you basically have to look, okay, this is an option, this is an option. If I do this, I do this. Like, you have to be patient. It's like something you have to wait for. It takes time, right? But an impatient move can cost you the whole game, right? So can I tell you something that might bum you out? There's just some things that you're not going to be able to control, and that you were not meant to control. Where you're waiting and you have no control of the situation. Where you're waiting, you're just waiting for something to happen and you can't do anything about it. And if you do something about it, it ends up being a hot mess. Like, you're like, I know I can't control this. I know, like, but I'm gonna try to. I'm going to try to make it work. I'm going to force it to work. And it ends up not being a blessing, but a hindrance or a curse. So you could imagine, we just read about the Israelites, and they have a seashore of Philistines, troops, chariots, horses, the whole nine yards. And they're like, the Israelites, they're hiding in like, imagine people hiding in bathtubs, hiding in trash cans because of how scared they were, hiding in caves because of how many people there were. And Saul's like waiting, like, we need to go to battle with them. Like, I'm waiting on you, Samuel. I'm waiting on you, Samuel, because I need your sacrifice. Because they needed the sacrifice for the favor of the Lord, for the blessing of the Lord. And then they would be confident that the God would help them defeat the Philistines. These Israelites were so afraid. Like, when's the last time you've been in a situation that's scary? Like, there's a situation in your life and you're like, man, this is overwhelming. Like, man, my problems are just stacking upon more. And you're just looking at the seashore like, I just want to go sleep. Like, I don't want to deal with life right now. I just want to go to my bed. I'm not going to do anything. Anybody felt that before? Where just situations in your life are so overwhelming. You're like, man, like, oh, it's okay, I dropped my ice cream. And then all of a sudden someone yells at you for something. And then another thing, like your mom yells at you. And then everybody's not happy with you. And you're like, you know what? I'm just going to like go and do my own thing. Like, I don't need this right now. And I think we've all been in situations where we look at the situation or we look at the problems or the circumstances, and all it makes us want to do is hide. And we're like, God, I'm waiting for an answer. God, like, fix this situation. Fix this problem. I'm waiting for a spouse. I'm waiting for a blessing. I'm waiting for someone to come encourage me. God, like, I'm waiting for you to make a step so I can make my next step. Or sometimes maybe in your life, you're waiting. And you're like, God, I'm waiting on you. Like, you're going to take care of it. But then you have people around you, hey, like, hey, bro, like, do something. You see the situation, like, do something. And you know that God is supposed to do something, not you. Hey, why didn't you figure this out yet? Hey, why is this situation in your life right now? What's the problem? Why don't you fix your problem? Why don't you stop this addiction? Just stop, bro. Like, do something about it. And people pressure you, and you're just like waiting upon the Lord. You're like, take control of your family. Like, you see your family struggling, like, take control of it. But inside, you know you can't do anything. Only God can help. And you're looking, and you're like, God, like, you told me that you would be there for me. You told me you would help me. And we get so impatient. We're like, God, like, you told me you're going to take care of this. You told me my family is going to be good. You told me my life is going to be good. My job is going to be good. Everything's going to be good because you are good. You told me, you promised me. God, see your promises that you promised me? And we get impatient because we don't see the result yet because we are in the process. Like, it's so easy for us to get impatient. Like, we already talked about it, right? Impatient, waiting to get your food. Impatience, like, yo, where's she at? Where's that where's my ministry? Where's my job? Where's that breakthrough? Like, God, I need this to happen, not just for me, but for other people. Like, God, I need an answer so I can help other people. I need an answer because it's not even for me, God. Like, I need other people. Like, this is for other people too, and I'm just waiting. So they were waiting for some time, it says in the Bible, the Israelites. And they started scattering. So they got impatient and they're like, we're scared. We don't see an answer. See ya. And like Saul's like, oh, okay, go home. Get some rest. No, like Saul, like if you're a leader and you're like, let's say you're a leader or a captain of a team. And they're like, their competition is so big, like they get scared and start like running away. Like, you're like, what are you doing? Why are you running away? Like, as a leader, like, that's so much pressure. Or even in your family, you're the head of the family, and like, your family's scared for something. And they start like running their own ways. And you're like, no, wait, guys, we have to stay strong. We have to wait upon the Lord. Like, imagine the pressure that Saul had in his life. Like, so many people were scattering. His army is scattering. Like, yo, if they get defeated, that means Israel is getting taken. So you could imagine the pressure. See, the thing is, people are going to come and go. People you thought who were ready to fight you with you in battle, and the anticipation is building up, but you know you have to wait, like, until God gives you the go, until God's timing is right. Like, there's going to be people in your life that are going to scatter, that are going to run away when there is a battle. And you're going to have to continue to wait upon God. Maybe someone else won't wait, but you need to wait. So they're waiting. Some people are scattering. So Saul gave into the pressure. He's like, you know what? I can't have people running around. Like, why are they? They're so afraid. Like, boom. Like, I need to do something about it. Like, I need to take control so they stop scattering, so they stop being afraid, so we can go fight the Philistines, defeat them, and everybody has a good day. So what does he do? Verse 9. So Saul said, bring the burnt offering here to me and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. So to have the Lord's favor, they would sacrifice an offering. That was to be made by Samuel, who was a priest, not by Saul, who was a king. So when they offered this, they would win the battle because the Lord's favor was upon them, right? But Saul took matters in his own control. He knew the answer was coming. Like, he knew that Samuel was coming. But he took things into his own control. You know, that distrust is often the root of impatience and being controlling. Have you ever met a controlling person? A control freak. That's what we call them. Man, she's a control freak. Ah. She just comes into a house and starts controlling everybody. Right? Or like, if you've ever been in a relationship, like, and you notice someone's like controlling, or like a brother or sister is controlling, a parent is controlling. Y'all, some of you need your parents to control you though. But I'm just saying, like, controlling, like, oftentimes we take things into our own control because we don't trust something. Because we have some distrust of some sort. Oftentimes, like, we can, like, be impatient because we don't trust in God's timing. Like, impatience is simply the distrust of God's timing, if you put it into simpler terms. Taking things in your control, which were meant to be controlled by God, is simply not trusting that God has it under control. It's not trusting in His sovereignty. And like, to be controlling, guys, that's not like freedom. Freedom is like when you don't have to do anything. Freedom is when like you give it to God and God, you're controlling my life. I'm just going after you. That's freedom. But when you have to control every situation in your life, like, you're going to get so tired. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get impatient. And guess what? Your control is actually going to mess it up. Man, like, I just remember things I tried to control in my life. Like, and it's so like unattractive to be controlling. When you know a person, when a leader, or when I don't know, even a significant other, like, you're like, they're controlling, and you're like, man, I love to be controlled. And said no one ever. You see that and you're like, what is going on? Like, this person does not trust me. This leader does not trust those who attend his service. This leader doesn't trust his team. They're like, oh no, if I'm going to give it to them, they're going to mess it up. So I'm not going to give it to anything. And you know, sometimes we treat that like, we treat God like that. We're like, God, no, let me take care of it. Like, because I know what I'm doing. Like, I got this. I got this. Instead of waiting. Like, Saul's like, where is Samuel? He said he would be here. He, like, I'm waiting on you, Samuel, so I can go in battle. I got people scattering. I got people running wild. I got people hiding in jars. Like, where are you, Samuel? You said you would be here. The people are pressuring me. Like, I could imagine Saul, hey, like, offer the sacrifice so we can go. Like, people are running away. We're going to get defeated if everybody runs away. Right? Like, that's what Abraham's wife did. Abraham got promised. This was a promise from God. Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. That was a promise. What did Abraham have to do? Just wait upon the Lord. Do what he can do and wait upon the Lord. But what did his wife got impatient? His wife's like, nah, honey, I'm going to get you a promise way quicker. I'm going to give you a shortcut. And how many of you know in God's kingdom, there are no shortcuts to anything? There's one way. There's no shortcut. Like, I'm going to receive this promise faster if I do this. I'm going to receive this promise faster. No, like, the promise will come at God's appointed time, not your appointed time. Right? So what did Sarah do? Hey, honey, you see my servant over there? You take her. You got a child, okay? Take care of yourself. He didn't say no. Look, his wife pressured Abraham into that. Abraham could have said no. Easy. He could have said, like, Sarah, are you kidding me? Like, you're you, my wife, and you're asking me to do this? Right? But he got pressured into it because he didn't see the result right away. He had the promise. He's going to be a great nation, but he didn't have the child. So what did they, Abraham and Sarah took it into their own hands. They took control of, like, God, we're going to get your answer faster. We got this. We're going to take care of it. And what ended up happening? Impatience, which is rooted in distrust in God's timing, will produce the Ishmael instead of the Isaac you were supposed to have. Impatience will produce the Ishmael in your life instead of the Isaac. Impatience will produce the curse instead of the blessing that you were supposed to receive. Like, how many of you know it could be the right thing, but if it's the wrong time, it's not going to be a blessing. It's going to be a mess. It could be the right thing. It could be the right person. It could be the right job. But if it is not his timing, if it's not the right timing, it's not going to work. God is not asking you to grasp onto something. He's asking you to stand there with open hands before him, saying, God, I'm serving you. What comes, comes. What does it say? Seek the kingdom first and everything will be added unto you. Not seek the kingdom first and then grasp all the things that I'm going to give to you. Like, it will be added. God will present it before you. Impatient people will pressure you to be impatient. Go figure. If you're by impatient people who are like, man, right now, man, I've been waiting in this drive-thru for 40 minutes. It's only been 5 minutes. Impatient people will encourage you to be impatient. Like, hey, bro, why don't you have this taken care of? Like, why didn't you find yourself a wife yet? Go do it. I got you. Like, no, like, people will pressure you to be impatient. But you know that you're supposed to wait upon God, amen? We know there's some things that you just can't control. There's some things that God has to take care of. And I much rather have God take care of some things than I take care of them. Because whatever I take care of seems to die. A little story. I had a fish once. As you, some of you know, I have Max the second now. Max the first kind of didn't end up in a good place. Well, I don't know. You know, we don't need to get into if animals go to heaven. I don't think they do. But anyways, I did not take care of him. Like, there would be mornings I'm like, I come back home, I'm like, oh, I forgot to feed my fish completely. Or like, oh, I haven't cleaned his tank like in 3 months. And what ended happening? He ended up getting sick and he died. Right? This was recent. It's okay. A year ago. He lived for a decent amount of time. Okay, let's not get into how he died. He's got sick and died somehow, okay? Anyways. Yeah. Anyways, he was suffering, you know? You gotta sometimes put it out of its misery. But anyways. But let's get back on track. Like, some things when we take care of, they end up not, because like, we can't take care of some of the things, we can't take care of ourselves sometimes. Like, God wants to take care of the things. Like, he doesn't want you to be in control. He wants to be in control. That's when we came before Christ. What did we say? Here, God, I accept you. I got my life together. You, like, I'm going to keep you in my mind and I'm going to walk my path and control my life. No, but when you came to Christ, you gave him your life. And if you gave him your life, that means he's in control of your life now. Amen? Not you. What does that mean? Your plans are not based off you. Your plans are based off him. Where you go is not based off you. It's based off him. It's based off your calling. Like, your career, is not the foundation of your calling. Calling is the foundation of your career. Amen? So our impatience and us taking into like things into our own control often produces the Ishmael instead of the Isaac in our life. So it's so important to filter and analyze who you allow to speak into your life. Can I get an amen? Like, are they pointing to God's timing and His control and trusting in Him? Or are they pointing for you to take control, for you to decide, for you to grasp things into your own hands? Like, you got to be careful. You got to be careful who you allow to speak in your life. I stopped hanging out with certain people because they just spoke that things that were not in God's word into my life. And if you listen to a lie long enough and repeatedly enough, guess what? You're going to start believing it as truth. That's what Hitler did. Hitler made people repeat a lie constantly, 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 until they made it as truth, until it became truth to them. So it's so important to filter out who speaks into your life. Is it people who are pressuring you to be impatient? Is it people who are pressuring you like, no, bro, you got it. Take control of it. You don't need anything. You have all the knowledge you need. There's just some things that you're not going to be able to control. So verse 10. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him and greet him. Like, isn't it funny that when he did it, Samuel showed up right away? He's like, okay, I'm going to take control. It's like, okay, I'm all done. Oh, I'm glad I did that. Samuel shows up. Hey, I'm ready to offer the sacrifice. What's good? And Saul's like, I already did that. Like, isn't it funny when sometimes we take control over something, we get impatient and take control over something in our lives, and guess what happens? Like God, then you see God's answer show up. He's like, oh God, that's the blessing that was supposed to come to me. And I just produced some like Ishmael. I've had that happen to me. I'm telling you, like you take control and all of a sudden God shows up with his answer. You're like, oh, that's the answer I was waiting for. And you're like, and I just made my own answer. Isn't it funny that God's confrontation shows up? He confronts us. He's like, hey, like you've been praying for this answer. Like, I'm here. Hello. And you're like, oh, wait, I just took control, God. And you realize something. Like, Saul realized something. It wasn't just like, oh, like, yeah, like, it's all good. Check it out. But let's read on. Sometimes we can fall into this next trap that Saul fell into. Verse 11. Samuel said, what have you done? Has anybody ever said that to you? What have you done? The chos deal, huh? And Saul said, when I saw the people were scattering from me, and you did not come within the time that you have told me that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I said, now the Philistines will come down against me in Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. So what does Saul do? He makes an excuse. He blames someone. Like, I made my own answer, but God, like, this is the reason I made my own answer. Like, you didn't show up when I needed you to show up. And what happened? He blamed the people. He said, people were scattering. Like, what am I supposed to do? The Philistines were supposed to come down and defeat us, and I needed the Lord's favor, so I did it. I forced myself. Like you'll have the temptation to justify yourself when you make a mistake. Who never justifies themselves when making a mistake? I think we all had a reason, like when we were little, hey, who took that cookie out of the jar? Oh, not me. I'm like, I was hungry, you know? Like, but you know you didn't need to do that. You know you weren't supposed to. Like when you're disobedient, you can fall into the trap of blaming someone else for your disobedience. Blaming some circumstance. God, this circumstance was so hard, so I had to disobey because I had to do something. I had to make it work. And he starts blaming the people. He starts blaming his circumstance. So Saul gave in to the pressure, and now he's trying to justify his disobedience with a sacrifice. He's like, but like, look, like, yeah, maybe I didn't do what you told me to do, but guess what? I still sacrificed. I offered something to the Lord. God does not need your offering if you have disobedience with it. God doesn't need you to sacrifice your time on Sunday if the rest of your time on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're not doing what you're supposed to. What kind of sacrifice of time is that? Like, God desires obedience rather than sacrifice. God doesn't need your sacrifice if the rest of the days you're disobeying him. And that's how we justify, oh God, I came to church, I repented, I'm going to just do life again. Like, God doesn't need that kind of sacrifice. He wants obedience from us. And notice, like, this is only the beginning of the story. Saul then goes on. In chapter 15, he again disobeys what God told him to do. God told him, hey, you need to slaughter all these people, all the army. You can't keep any goats, no sheep, no nothing. Like, you have to get rid of everything. And what did Samuel came to Saul? He's like, yo, I hear like, bah, in the back. Like, what's going on? Why do you have sheep and goats? And so I was like, well, like, we kept some of the plunder, like the people took the plunder. But guess what, God? We're offering it to you. We're giving this to you. But God's like, this is not, and Samuel's like, this day your kingdom is torn away from you. Your kingdom will be torn away from you. Why? Not because, like, because of the disobedience. It seems like, oh God, we got this for you. Like, this is the plunder for you. We sacrificed it. And they were trying to justify them getting the plunder. But at the end of the day, God desired obedience. Verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God. With which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. Verse 14, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept with the Lord what the Lord had commanded you to do. So what's interesting, and this is Old Testament, guys. Aren't you so happy we live in the New Testament? He didn't get a second chance. Saul did not get a second chance. He disobeyed, and that's where it ended. Could I have keys come up? He didn't get a second chance. But guess what? Even if you took control of something, even if you messed something up, Jesus is like, hey, I'm your second chance. Hey, it's not over yet. Hey, like, your life is going to go on. Like, just give it over to me again. Like, Jesus is, even no matter how bad we mess up, no matter how bad we disobey, yes, there are consequences. But at the end of the day, your calling is not gone. Your plan, God's plan for your life is not gone. He's like, come back on the path I've put you on. Stop going on detours. Stop trying to find shortcuts. Stop trying to take control. And he puts you back on it. Like, aren't you grateful that Jesus, like, is the person of second chances? Like, Jesus, it doesn't matter how far you're in the darkness, he will bring you back into the light. Amen? But what's interesting here, what really, like, touched my heart, is, like, Samuel said, your kingdom will not continue. Your kingdom will not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. God sought after a man who was after his heart. Like, you notice here, Saul was moved and pressured by the heart of man and by his own heart. He was led by his heart. He was moved by his heart. He wasn't moved by the heart of God. He wasn't moved by the heart of the Lord. But he was moved by the heart of men and his own heart. And God is after a person that is after his heart and moved by his heart. A person who says, it doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what people are pressuring me to do. It matters what God's heart says and what God wants me to do. It doesn't matter if people are saying, hey, take control. Hey, figure this out. Why don't you have your answer? You're like, no, I know what God's heart says, and I'm going to go after his heart, not your heart. Like, God is looking for a people who is after his own heart, who doesn't care about what people are going to think, who doesn't care about the pressure, who doesn't care. They are just after his heart because his heart is much more beautiful than man's heart. His heart has so much more to offer than anyone else's heart that you could get. His heart is the only thing that will satisfy you. And if you read the rest of Saul's life, it's a pretty sad story, actually. He goes on, starts chasing after David. His kingdom slowly falls apart. His sons start dying. And then he ends up dying as well. He commits suicide, falling on his sword. Like, the heart of man will not take you places. God's heart will. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. His purpose is contained in his heart. Your plans can be contained in your own heart. But do your plans have to do with his plans? Are you moved by your plans or are you moved by his purpose? David was the man after God's heart. He was anointed in the pasture, but he had to wait for the palace. There was a process for him to get into the palace. Like, David had to wait. David could have tried to take things into his own hands. He's like, oh, I've been anointed king. Let me go to the palace. We ready. Let's go. No, but he continued to be patient. And he let the Lord take him through the process. He let the Lord give him the platform. He let the Lord bring him into the palace. What was David doing? He was just waiting. In the pasture, he was waiting, taking care of the sheep that his father gave him, playing the harp once in a while, singing to the Lord. He was waiting. See, there is a difference between waiting, the waiting that David did, and then the waiting that Saul did. There is a difference. And look at this. Waiting is not just something passive. Like, we talk about waiting. Waiting means I'm standing and doing nothing. Like, no, waiting is actually an active thing. Waiting is a time of preparation. If you're in a season of waiting, you're like, God, I'm waiting for this person to come into my life. God, I'm waiting for this ministry to come into my life. God, I'm waiting for this answer. Like, your waiting is not just you sitting on a chair waiting, God, let's go. Your waiting is actually a preparation. David's waiting was in the pasture, taking care of dirty sheep, defending them from lions and bears, where nobody saw. Your waiting is something nobody else is going to see sometimes. But that season of waiting is a season of preparation. That season of waiting will bring you from the pasture to the palace. And some of you are like, I'm sick of the pasture. I'm sick of taking care of sheep. I'm sick of doing the dirty job. I'm sick of being this person. And God's like, wait, I want to teach you something. I want you to be a man after my own heart in the pasture, because if you're after my heart in the pasture, you'll be after my heart in the palace. If you're too big to stack chairs, you're too small for the platform that the Lord has prepared for you. If you're too big to do something for your neighbor, if you're like, nah, that's peasant work. Like, everybody, I have talent, I have gifts, I have skills. You're not after God's heart, you're after your own heart. David was waiting on God's timing, not man's timing. Saul did man's timing, but David did God's timing. Do you notice every person, put your hand on your heart. Is it beating? You're like, glory to God, it's beating. That means I'm alive. If it's not beating, we're going to rush into the hospital. Everybody has a heartbeat, right? And it's not something like, boom, 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 boom. No, right? It's a consistent rhythm. It's boom, 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 right? Boom, boom, boom. Ram, ba, bum. No, we're not going to get into that. Your heart has a rhythm. Your heart has a timing, right? And when you're after God's heart, you notice His heartbeat. You notice His timing. And how do you hear a heartbeat? You get close to the heart. Like, you want to be, like, a person who's after God's heart is a person who understands God's timing. They understand, they hear the heartbeat of God. They understand the rhythm of God. God has rhythm. God has timing. That's all from God. We see it in nature, but that's how seasons work. It's His timing. And if you want to know what God's timing is for your life, you got to get closer to His heart. You got to be after His heart. If you're going to be after your own heart, guess what? Like, you can be close to your heart and you're going to get your timing, no doubt. But if you're close to God's heart, you're going to get His timing. Let's stand up. And I'll end with this. Isaiah 40, and the rest of worship team can come up. Isaiah 40, 30. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Those who wait for the Lord. Those who wait upon God's timing. You know, there's some circumstances, I believe, some people in this room, maybe you've been waiting for your answer, and you're like, God, I'm so tempted to just take things into my own control. God, I'm so tempted to just do it myself. I know You have a plan. I know You have an answer for me. I know You have a person. I know You have a circumstance. I know You have a job. I know You have a ministry ready for me. But like, God, like, I'm waiting, and I'm growing impatient. And God's like, just trust in me. Trust in me, because those who wait upon me, they will not grow weary. They will run and not grow faint. They will mount up on eagle's wings. So my prayer to you, for you, is whether you feel pressure to take control, whether there's things you're like, God, I want to trust you in this and with this. Lord, I want to wait. I want to wait for my breakthrough. I know you have an answer coming. I know you have the answer coming for my life, Lord, and I want to trust in you. So give me strength to wait upon you. Give me strength to trust in you. Give me faith, God. So if that's you today, I just want you to bow your head. Start thinking about that circumstance. Start thinking about that thing you're waiting for. And just offer it before the Lord. Say, God, like, I don't want to take control of it, because if I take control of it, it's going to turn out a mess. God, I want you to take control of it. Lord, I want to be able to wait in the pasture with what you have given to me, with the sheep you have given to me. Lord, I know the palace is coming. I know my ministry is coming. I know my platform is coming, God. But I don't want to build my own platform. I don't want to step into the palace on my own. I want to step in with you, God. So, Lord, we just come before you, Lord. And I pray for these people, Lord, who've been waiting upon you, who may have been waiting for an answer, who may be waiting for a person, who may be waiting for the palace, God. And I pray, God, that you would give them faith, Lord, that you would give them peace and comfort, Lord, that you would give them a sense of trust, Lord, that they know that you are in control, that you are all sovereign, God. And I ask that they would trust you with all their heart, God, that they would not be after man's heart, Lord, that they would listen to the right voices in their life. Lord, that they would be able to filter out the voices that are pressuring them to take control when it's in your control, God. To filter out the voices, God, that are discouraging them, that are telling them to be impatient, God. I ask that you would encourage them, God. Lord, that you would encourage them to be in the waiting, God. That you would encourage them to be active in the waiting. That you would encourage them to continue to be surrendered to you. Continue to surrender those circumstances in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that even though we might mess up, even though we might, Lord, make everything go and wreck it, Lord, we may take it and wreck it, God, that you always give us second chances, that you are a God of restoration, that you are a God of healing, God. And Lord, we apologize for taking things into our control, and we give those things to you, God. We give our hearts for you to heal, God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would restore those things that we have messed up, God. We thank you, God, that you always come, that you always restore, that you always heal. Lord, and I pray that you would teach us to be after your heart and not our own heart, and not after anyone else's heart, but after your own heart, God. And that we would be so close to your heart, God, that we would feel your heartbeat, that we would feel your timing, that we would know you, God. That we would know you, God. In Jesus' name.